Then I, of course, cover the 49ers for Fangirl. So it's interesting. I always tell people, you have an idea and you go to build it, but be open, because sometimes the idea you had, something else works better, and that's okay. And so totally. Be, you know, flexible and willing to make those changes as needed.
Hey fans, welcome to Sideline Attraction. I'm your host, Taylor Ahrens, and this is a no-level playing field because I'm calling the shots on these interviews and nothing is off limits. So step up to the plate, it's game on. Hey y'all, hope you're doing awesome. Of course, it's been a busy week for me. I got back from Texas this weekend. I did a couple games over there. I also went to the University of Houston game, which was cool. I went to my alma mater and got to see the game against TCU. It was fun to be a fan for once and not be working a football game, but I will tell you, I felt out of place because I was meant to be on the sidelines. So I told my family and my friends that I went with is that, yeah, I'm just meant for the sidelines, and watching a game as a fan isn't as fun when you do it for work so much. But it was fun to chat with everyone and get to catch up. But yeah, I'm back in Arizona. I've been on the radio all week long doing traffic. So I had to do my podcast for Texas High School Football on Sunday. I interviewed tons of athletes. So that was nice getting it done early. I edited it all on the plane on my way home back to Arizona. And I've just been working on the radio, and I have a weekend off this week. So that'll be fun. I don't know what I'm going to do yet, but hopefully something fun, because my life has been all work and no play. So now I'm going to jump into my guest this week. This week, I'm so excited that I had on the CEO of Fangirl Sports Network and the beat reporter for the 49ers. She's awesome. She's an inspiration. She started Fangirl Sports on her own, and I just look up to her, and I'm so excited for y'all to hear her story and get to know her. So stepping into the press box is Tracy Sandler.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Great. How are you?
I am good. Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Of course. Thanks for coming. I am so excited you're on here. What attracted me to you, your page to begin with, is that you are a female in sports and you have glitz and glam, which I feel like I'm the same way. And I just love that about you. And was that always a dream of yours to do sports growing up?
It was. And then I did some other things and then ended up coming back to sports several years ago when I started Fangirl.
Oh, I love that. Well, we'll get to Fangirl later on. And I know you went to college in Michigan, and I know you are a huge fan. So can you tell me about your experience at Michigan?
Oh, absolutely. There's nothing I love talking about more. I absolutely loved Ann Arbor. It was just the most magical, wonderful place to go to school. And I loved it. I'm from California. I'm from Los Angeles. And at the time, I didn't think I'd live anywhere but LA. I ended up living in DC for a few years later, but I wanted to go away to school. My older brother went there, and it just had everything. It's quintessential college town. It had the sports. I actually wrote sports for the paper, and I just loved it. I absolutely loved it. I am clearly a diehard Michigan fan, two Michigan rookies on the 49ers this year. And I mean, it's like a dream come true to be covering them. And they were so good at Michigan. So it's been really fun. But yes, go blue always. I love them. I love them so much.
I love that. And I love that you were from LA and you jumped over to Michigan. That's a big jump. That's like kind of a culture shock for sure. You had that cold weather to deal with.
Yes. It didn't bother me though, because I felt like this is part of my experience. You know, it's like, well, the seasons and the snow, it's all part of it. And so there were only like two times I can remember I was like, it was really bad. And I was like, what is this? But I never felt like, what am I doing here? It's just more, it was like, what is this? But it was part of the whole experience. And it felt like that also kind of made it feel like the quintessential college town. The snow and the seasons and scarves and jackets and all the things that I never had in LA. And I'm fine with that. But it was nice to have them for those 4 years in Ann Arbor.
Right. You could actually have a football season and feel the fall weather and the cold. And I lived in Philadelphia for about 6 years growing up, and it got cold there too. I found that when you layered, it was better. Because I look back and I was like, oh my gosh, like I don't even know how I lived in all the snow. And it was a lot, but I was like, even the layers went a long way.
Yeah, it's all about layers. You just always have to have options. And now even not living there, and I did, like I said, lived in DC for a little while, it was cold. I still will layer even in California because one can never be too prepared.
Right. I know, for sure. And where do you live now?
I live between Los Angeles and the Bay. So I'm based in LA, but because I cover the 49ers, I'm obviously at practice every day and every game, no matter where they are, and every press conference, everything. So I spend half of my week in the Bay during the season and in the quote unquote off season, which is really a misnomer because the off season doesn't really exist. But in the quote unquote off season, I'm usually in the Bay 2 to 3 times a month, just depending, you know, what's going on. If there's free agent signings, the draft, pre-draft meetings, mini camp, rookie mini camp, OTAs, all of that.
Right. All of that fun off season stuff. How long is that drive?
Oh, I don't drive. I fly. It's a 40-minute flight.
40-minute flight. Okay. Yeah. I'm used to flying around back and forth. I actually live in Arizona, but I do my reporting in Texas. So I'm used to doing the back and forth kind of deal. Do you always fly on the same airline?
Not always. Southwest a lot to go to the Bay and back, but otherwise I'm kind of all over but I'm on a lot of them a lot. So I have miles on multiple airlines.
Yeah. And that's nice. Just racking up the points. And it's only a 40-minute flight. That's actually not bad at all. Yeah,
from Bay back and forth to the Bay. Yes. Obviously our away games are much farther, depending on the game, but yeah, back and forth to the Bay is really easy.
Yeah, that's easy. And then you can actually probably do work on the flight too.
Exactly.
I find I get my best work done on flights. I edit a lot of my podcasts on flights because you're just forced to work.
Yeah, exactly. Because really, what else are you doing? Yeah. So yeah,
totally. And I know everyone's path is not the same. So tell me a little bit about how you got to where you are today.
So I started a blog. I'll go back a bit. I mentioned that I lived in DC and I had worked in politics there. I'd worked in local government. I'd worked for the mayor. And then we lost re-election. I stayed on. I handled all this private sector endeavors as a nonprofit. And then I ended up moving back to California. So when I moved back to California, I started working at, this is such a mouthful, a political and philanthropic donor advising firm. And it's like every time I say it, it's such a mouthful. But at the time that I was working there, I came into the company at kind of an odd time. Mm-hmm. So I started a blog for the fun of it about the 49ers. And then I transitioned that into video, podcasts, and all kinds of things. And then that's how Fangirl Sports Network was born. So within a year of starting to cover the 49ers, the team did credential me. So I've now been a credentialed beat reporter for this is my eighth season, which I really can't believe that that's the case, but this is my eighth season covering the team, and created Fangirl. And we had a number of iterations kind of that it went through and finally found our stride. We used to have Fangirls for every NFL and NBA team and found that the model just wasn't completely working. So during COVID, I made the decision, and it was a tough decision, but it was the right decision for the company. I made the decision that we were going to not have that model anymore. And now Fangirl Sports Network covers basically everything major going on in the world of sports. And then we have our own original content that we do pretty much daily. So we have original memes, obviously sharing news and analysis. And then on Mondays, we have our Community Monday, where we highlight athletes, the work they're doing in the community. On Tuesdays, we have either the dating game or Fangirl in training. On Wednesdays, we have 5 Fun Facts. Thursdays, Get My Job. Tuesday and Friday are the Tracy Sandler Show. And Friday on Fangirl, the five things you need to know going into the weekend. And then again, memes, news, and analysis. So we have merchandise. And so we've really changed it. And then I, of course, cover the 49ers for Fangirl. So it's interesting. I always tell people, you have an idea and you go to build it, but be open, because sometimes the idea you had, something else works better, and that's okay. And so totally. Be, you know, flexible and willing to make those changes as needed.
I like that a lot, because especially in this industry, you have to be open and kind of create your own path. I mean, I started this podcast to get experience, and it's really nice when you created it's something that you can work for yourself, and then you've created it on your own and you just have the freedom to do whatever you want. And it's exploded. I love your page. And do you have people working for you, or do you run it entirely? Okay, cool.
No, I have people working for me. I have about 8 people that work for me, and 2 incredible women who run the Fangirl Sports Network page. I run my page. They help me with content, but I run my personal page, but they run Fangirl Sports Network and then Incredible Woman, who handles our Twitter and our Facebook and podcasts. And we're on a podcast network and have a head of partnership. So we've really grown quite a bit. And it's been fantastic. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I mean, one thing about working for yourself, it's hard work. And yes, it's yours and you get to decide what happens. But it certainly is quite a bit of work, because if you're not doing it, no one else. I mean, luckily I have an incredible team that works for me, but still, you know, at the end of the day, it's my name and you really have to be on top of it, but it is very cool and a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. And then, like you said, when you're in charge of something, you have to make all the executive decisions and you have no one telling you what to do. It's kind of like, okay, I got to do it all on my own, which is cool. But then it also has those scary moments and just those moments that you're just like, oh, I got to do it on my own. But it makes it so much more fun. And now talking about being with the 49ers, you're a beat reporter. So can you tell my listeners that don't know what a beat reporter is, maybe like a little elevator pitch of what it is?
Absolutely. So a beat reporter is a person, and it's kind of funny. I always say to people, think of it this way. If you're reading the news and there's someone like on the crime beat or on the city council beat, it's the same thing. It's just, I'm on the beat for the 49ers. So it's my job to report on a daily basis, news, updates, injuries, transactions, any of the things you can think of. So I'm at practice every day. Then we're in the locker room after practice. We have media availability. And then I'm reporting either through writing, social, or my podcast. I just kind of reporting on them on a daily basis. Obviously, reporting on the game, any pregame news that you need to know, inactives, reporting throughout the game, after the game, media writing, all of that, writing features. And so that's really what a beat reporter does. And a beat reporter is an unbiased reporter. So though I started as a 49ers fan, I've now been a beat reporter for 8 years. So I'm certainly not rooting for them to lose every week, but I am not a fan anymore. I'm not really rooting either way, but it's been really fun. And it's cool because I did grow up loving the 49ers. So it's certainly very cool to now be able to cover them in the way that I do and to have that access. So it's been pretty amazing, but that is really what a beat reporter is. And so the 49ers they're my beat, just like if I were a crime reporter, which I listen to a lot of true crime. So I like to think I am a crime reporter, but if I was a crime reporter on the crime beat, like I said, but that is what a beat reporter is. So usually a beat reporter can work for a local television station, local newspaper, that type of thing. I work for Fangirl. So yeah, that's a beat reporter.
That's such a dream come true, working for a business that you were always a fan for. And I know you travel with the team too.
Yes, I am at every game. So wherever they are, I go to. So we don't travel with, like, we're not with them on the plane, but yes, we all travel.
Yeah, right.
but yes, we travel with them. So yeah, wherever they go, I go. So this past weekend, I was in Pittsburgh and it was my first time at Pittsburgh, my first time at Acrisure Stadium, which used to be Heinz Field. There's still Heinz all over the place. So that felt kind of cool and iconic. There, you know, there's certain stadiums that you go to and you're like, this feels like football. So that was one of them. Lambeau is certainly one of them. But it's been cool. And I get to see a lot of cities that I probably wouldn't otherwise see. So I try to take it in and do the local things with my colleagues and friends who are there. So it's been a lot of fun. But yeah, this last weekend was Pittsburgh, coming weekend, LA. Then they got some home games. Then I'll be in Cleveland and Minneapolis.
So cool. I love that you're able to go to all the different stadiums too. That's something I've always wanted to do. It's just like a bucket list, is go check them all out. And obviously Lambeau is the biggest one, but that's, of course. Yeah. And then you also too, that you're able to have freedom to do a little bit of exploring. It's not all work. You kind of get.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, because we're usually there a day or two before the game, depending how far it is. So we do get some time to see the cities, which is pretty cool. So I have 5 stadiums left that I haven't been to. Okay. And so Cleveland's one of them. So I'll get that one this year. And then the others, I think, are going to have to wait because they're all because they're not on the schedule and they're all AFC stadiums. So there would be no chance of a playoff game there this year.
Right. Is there a favorite stadium that you've been to?
You know, it's funny. I judge stadiums on the press box more than anything, and ease of getting from the press box down to like the field, locker room, and all of that. But Allegiant in Vegas it's a really nice stadium. They did a beautiful job, and it's a nice press box and it's easy to navigate. So that one's good. I love the stadium in Minneapolis. It's a great one. Atlanta is a great stadium. I really like Levi's. I think Levi's Stadium is a great stadium. And now that the team has been good for several years, I think people are also really liking it. It has its own kind of history and culture and all of that. So that's a good one. But those are the ones that pop in my head right off the bat. I mean, Lambeau is cool because it's Lambeau, of course. But those are the ones that kind of jump out at me when I think about it.
Oh, I love that. That's such a cool experience that you get to go. And then you also, you have media credentials. Do you ever have like a hard time getting into stadiums? I know for me, I mean, I'm just working high school football, but sometimes they question me at the door about my credentials and stuff like that. So I wonder if that's ever an issue.
No, it's not an issue, but I'm credentialed by the Niners and then they put right. For our away games, they're in charge of it. So no, it has not been a problem. The only time I ever had an issue, not with my credential, was stadiums have a clear bag policy, but as media, we don't have to have a clear bag. Right. So there was one stadium I went to a couple years ago and I had my bag and the security guard said, you can't bring that in. And I said, no, I can't. I'm media, I have my credential. And she was like, you can't. And I was like, I know that I can. Then someone else came over and like, no, media can. And but so, you know, that was, but that's really the only time it was. And that entire exchange was like 27 seconds. So it really wasn't that big a deal.
I've had that encounter before with my videographer. They're like, it's a clear bag policy. And you're like, no, but like, I have credentials. Like I can, right. I can get in. Like this has all my stuff in it. Right. I need it. But when you first started with the 49ers, how did you get those credentials?
Well, I started covering the team and then I started covering a lot of their community events. And the first season I would apply on a weekly basis for game credentials. And then I just got it. I got a season long credential after that. So I was doing the work and I was working really hard and covering everything. And so they gave me that opportunity. And the first year, even the year I wasn't credentialed, I wrote features during the week. I wrote a pregame article. I wrote a postgame article. I had a podcast. I was doing video content and covering like all of their media events. So I think they recognized that I was quite serious about what I was doing and that I was building a business and that I had this company. And, you know, FanGirl has become, it's a digital media company. And so we've been lucky and we worked really, really hard. So, but that's how it began. And I commend them. I mean, it's really nice. They gave me an opportunity. Not every team is willing to do that. Not every team would do that, but the 49ers are really fantastic that way. And so I feel very lucky to get to cover that team, but that's how it began 8 years ago, which is still, I can't believe.
That's great that they gave you that opportunity. Cause you, like you said, it's hard to kind of break through that industry and they took notice of what you were doing. I mean, you were doing the most, you were articles covering basically everything. So you were basically made this job for yourself because you showed them that you had all the talent and you were showing them what they were missing. So that's really awesome. And I know that you have all different platforms and I do notice that you tweet during like the Michigan games. But what I'm most noticed is how fast you are about your tweets. Like I need to get better at that. No, it's so good. Like, cause I'm on the sidelines, I like feel like I'm going so slow, but it's really impressive how fast you go.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I mean, then I think it's probably, in fairness to you, it's a little easier from the press box because I'm at a seat with my computer in front of me. So not during a Michigan game, obviously, but during like a 49er game. During a Michigan game, I'm usually watching from my TV. So I think that makes it a lot easier as well. But it's very funny. I'm 49ers, Michigan, and Dodgers, which is quite the combination. But you know what? I make it work.
Yeah, right. We all have our teams. That's exactly. And I know you cover Dodgers. Do you guys?
Yeah, you know what's funny? I actually don't cover the Dodgers.
Right.
Most people think I do. A lot of people think I cover the Dodgers. And even at the combine, a few people were like, so when do you get to spring training to cover the Dodgers? And I was like, oh, I don't cover the Dodgers, but I love them. And I don't want to cover them because I love them. And I'm such a fan. I just want to enjoy being a Dodger fan. But I have a lot of people that say to me, they get their Dodgers news from me. So I love that. But yeah, I do. I do. I guess I cover them. I just don't cover them, I guess.
Cover. Like official cover them. I feel that.
Yes.
You can only enjoy some of your sports because you're doing your other sports for work. I get that. That's so funny because I do mostly football, but I do a lot about baseball too. So it's just like it all intertwines. And as long as you're putting sports out there. And another thing I love that is on your FanGirl bio is that a woman who knows Tom Brady's stats, but isn't afraid to brace her inner Giselle. And then also on your page, it's never met a sequins jersey I didn't like. I love that so much. Can you talk to me? Have you ever had like any hardships being a female in the industry or just like, I don't know, wearing the glitz and the glam?
I mean, it's, you know, I think being a female in the industry, there are always hardships that come with it. Right. I feel very fortunate that the other beat reporters right from the get-go were very welcoming. And, you know, I am who I am. And a friend of mine actually, who actually works for an NFL team, said this to me a couple weeks ago. And she said, the thing I love about you is you are always unapologetically yourself. And it's just who I am. And so therefore, the thing about that though is I'm a professional. So I am always I'm me, but I'm always going to be professional. And no one ever has to worry about that. And no one is going to worry in a press box. I mean, Jake Moody is the 49ers kicker now, and he went to Michigan, and I was so excited they drafted him because he was like the man at Michigan, and he had a great game one, and like, he's my favorite. And it's, everybody kind of knows that, but you're not going to find me in the press box when he makes his field goal cheering. And I'm not, there's not going to be any of that. So I think that that's kind of the thing, but I am who I am. And I do love the glitz and the glam. And I mean, we all get dressed up on game day anyway, because that is what, you know, you do as a reporter, but I like all that. And I have fun with that. And even like at Dodger games and for Michigan games, I like having my stuff bedazzled and cropped and fun. And that's just me. And I don't apologize for being me, especially because it's authentic to myself. I'm not like putting on a show for anybody. And so I think people can respect that. But I do the work, and I do the work well. And I think that's obviously important too. At the end of the day, your work speaks for itself. Mm-hmm. And if your work is speaking for itself, then all the other stuff doesn't really matter.
I totally agree. As long as you deliver your best foot forward. And I also like that you're able to be your true authentic self. I mean, that's the most confident thing a woman can wear, is just being confident and being who they are, mm-hmm. and not apologizing about it. It's something that I'm sure people look up to and they just admire. And I think that's really awesome that you're able to be that and be able to highlight and be your platform. I think that's really cool that you're able to do that. And now I want to talk about your podcast, because I know you have a podcast as well. How long have you been doing that?
So Get My Job premiered or launched. I don't know what the right term is, but that was in September of 2019. And Get My Job is one where I sit down with women in the industry every week and talk about their journeys and their careers and kind of how they've gotten to where they've been, any obstacles, advice they have, that type of thing. And I try to highlight women in all facets of the industry. So we've had team general counsels on, people in marketing, sports psychologists. I had a sports realtor on who works exclusively with athletes in New York and New Jersey who are moving there. So I really want to highlight there are so many opportunities for women in sports, and sideline reporting and hosting and all of that is incredible, but there are so many opportunities. And so I want women to know that, you know, whatever their skill set is, there could be a place for them. So that's Get My Job. And then the Tracy Sandler Show premiered in November of 2021. And that is primarily 49ers podcast with quite a bit of Dodgers and Michigan sprinkled in. And then we get some fun lifestyle stuff in there too. Mm-hmm. But those are the three teams that get the airtime on the Tracy Sandler Show.
That's so fun. You have two. I also have two podcasts. I have one for
amazing
kind of enjoyment. And then I have another one for Texas high school football, but it is,
Friday Night Lights.
Totally. But it is hard balancing too. I mean, do you have help? Do you have people editing it for you, or do you do it all?
No, we're on a podcast network, so that helps tremendously. Okay, so they're able to do the editing. But I write the scripts and I do the questions and I send a questionnaire out to our guests every week for Get My Job. And all of that is me, which I think is important because I am the one talking and hosting the show. So I think it is important that that does come from me, but we are lucky. We're on a great podcast network called Believe, and they do handle the editing. So
that's amazing. Great. And I've listened to your podcast. It's so fun. So incisive. Yeah. I love it. And being able to create your own questions, like you said, it helps a lot and gives you kind of a bit of guidance. I feel like I have to do like some investigating before, even if it's just like looking at someone's like wiki or something, but just knowing going into it, it just helps a lot. And then I've learned kind of just having like conversations and just being lighthearted is what I'm trying to get to and try to work up to. And it's just like hearing people like you. And I love that you're able to interview so many females in sports, because when I'm working on the sidelines for high school football, I usually go up to like the athletic trainers and I'm like, hey, like we'll shout you out on your page. And they just think it's so cool because there is so many different avenues that females can go into and you can spotlight. That's really special. And then also I was doing my research, like we said, I saw on LinkedIn, you were the voiceover artist for Mattel Barbie. I need details.
I was the voice of Barbie for a number of years, which is pretty cool. So yeah, that was very fun. And I did it. And then even when I moved to DC to work for the mayor, I was able to do it because it was 3 hours earlier in California. So after work, they would send me to a studio in DC and I would do all the Barbies. So it was a lot of fun. But yeah, that one's pretty cool. That's probably my most fun fact, I think, that I was.
That is so fun. Were you just going to the studio and just reading your lines?
Yes, I was recording, reading scripts. And yeah, it was fun. It was every few months. So it was for two websites and a bunch of commercials. So it was a lot of fun. It really was. And I mean, not everyone can say that they were actually Barbie. So it's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. When I saw that, I was like, I have to ask her about that. It's so fun. Yeah. And I've been working on the radio. I work for iHeartMedia and it's
okay.
It's been fun learning and finding your voice because the power of your voice is really influential. I didn't realize it. And I was like, wow, it's, and then we started learning about more like voiceover actors. And I was like, oh, wow, that's so cool that she does that. That's really fun. Awesome. That's so much fun. And
definitely was cool.
You were into politics and then sports. You kind of dabbled in a little bit of everything. That's so cool.
I did. And it's interesting though. And I tell people this, like when I worked for the mayor, I worked in his press office to begin with, which that's helpful, obviously, for what I do now. But then I also ran two city agencies. So I was in charge of hiring and budgets and managing people, which was an invaluable experience and super helpful now in having my own company because I'm in charge of hiring and budgets and managing people. And that was really helpful experience for me.
I'm sure all your experiences that brought you to where you are today has been so helpful. And if you had to give advice to someone that's trying to break through the sports industry, what advice would you give them?
I would say I have a couple of things. I think one, be open to opportunities. It's important to know what you want to do, but sometimes an opportunity will come along that if you're too pigeonholed in what you want to do, you might miss out on something great and you never know where something leads. So I would say kind of be open to opportunities. And then I would also say just start. I mean, that's what I did. I just started podcasting and writing and all of that. And at first I made a little WordPress website all by myself. That was not something I was good at, but I just did it and started writing and then started tweeting my stuff out. And that's the thing, like we do live in a world now. Social media has a lot of toxic, but it also has a lot of good. And one of the good things is that you can go and start an Instagram page and do reels and lives and videos and really practice and get your reps. And you could start a website, you could start a podcast, you could start a YouTube. There's so many things that you can do. So start doing them and be open to opportunities, but also put yourself in a position to create opportunities for yourself.
I like that a lot because I do see a lot of people, they're afraid to start and I'm just do it. I mean, I look back, I started sports broadcasting probably like 2 years ago, like officially I went to school, got out, but I'm still learning the ropes and still trying to break my way through. But this podcast has given me so much more experience and just created a little opportunity for myself. So it's really insightful to hear that you just got to keep grinding and then great things will come if you just keep working hard.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it's great you start the podcast. That's how you get going and you learn and you listen back and say, and I did this a lot in the beginning. Oh, I didn't like that I did that, but I did like that I did this. And that's how you learn and that's how you get better. Reps. It's all about just reps. Mm-hmm. Just like the athletes themselves. It's all about getting reps.
Totally. Same for us reporters. Get those reps in and practicing and they get so much easier. I actually there's a couple new reporters for my company and they're starting and they had like so many questions and they were like, the biggest question that was on their mind was that getting a post-game interview with a coach or an athlete. They're like, I just am afraid to go up to them. I was like, well, that was me at the beginning, but it's okay. Like you can go up to them and just ask, like we said, are professional and you go mm-hmm. up and ask nicely. They're most likely going to say yes. And worst thing that happens is they say no, like exactly. It's all okay. And it's just all a learning curve. And I really appreciate you being like a figure that I can look up to. And I just think you're doing such great stuff. So I admire you for that.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot to me. Thank you so much.
Of course. Well, before I let you go, we're going to play a little fun game.
Okay.
A 2-minute drill, I like to call it. And okay. It's just this or that questions. These are fun just to get to know you a little bit better.
Okay. Fantastic.
Okay. Three, two, and one. Hot weather or cold weather?
Hot weather.
Cupcake or donuts?
Cupcake.
Hotel or Airbnb?
Hotel.
Call or FaceTime?
FaceTime.
Glamping or camping?
Glamping.
I feel that. Crunchy peanut butter or smooth peanut butter?
Oh, crunchy for sure.
Travel all the time or stay at home?
Well, I guess as someone who travels all the time, I'll have to go with travel all the time. No, exactly.
By default. And next one, give a hug or a high five?
Hug.
Cookies or cake?
Cake. I'm a frosting girl. So anything with that has frosting is what I like.
I love that. I'm the same way. Cat or dog?
Dog.
Pop or rock music?
Pop.
Pancakes or waffles?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I'm going to go pancakes. But that's tough.
Yeah. Morning or evening?
Evening.
Text message or call?
Text message.
Summer or winter?
Winter.
Singing or dancing?
Which is funny because I picked hot weather, but I'm assuming. that's a very tough one, but I love to sing, so I'll go singing.
Rain or snow?
Snow.
Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
Boat or plane?
Plane.
Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
Book or movie?
Book.
Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
And last one, passenger or driver?
Driver.
Amazing. Thanks for playing my fun little game.
That was fun.
I know. I like to do that at the end just to get to know everyone a little bit better. And before you go, can you tell us one fun fact? I know you already told us a fun fact about doing Mattel Barbie, but can you tell us one fun fact we didn't learn about you today?
I think this is kind of a fun fact. I am extremely scared of spiders, like deathly afraid. Like during Halloween, I can't even be in the same room as a fake spider, but my favorite superhero is Spider-Man.
Ironic.
Yeah.
I'm actually a big Spider-Man fan.
Okay.
He grew up obsessed. I think when I was a kid, he took us to the movie theater like 10 times to see one of the Spider-Mans that was, I don't know, was out at the time. And I was like, okay, I can get down with Spider-Man. But I agree, spiders are not my thing.
No, even, and Halloween's also my favorite holiday, but I can't be near fake spiders, which is fine.
Right. I actually had like a spider in my house. Like it was like this big. I freaked out. And I was by myself. Yeah. I was like, I don't know what to do here.
Yeah, that would scare me.
Calling people and they're like, well, you're going to have to fix it yourself. You're the only one there. Yeah, it's very scary. Well, thank you so much again for your time. I appreciate it. I know you're so busy, so I appreciate you coming on here and chatting.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. It was awesome. It was super fun.
Of course. Have a great day. Thanks so much.
You too. Thanks, Taylor.